Podcast Land. It's another edition of the Six Storms Podcast, solo queue edition tonight. I'm your host, Wayne Dr. Rhythm Payton, and tonight I'm joined by Mr. Cole, Runs with Scissors Abernathy.
I'm here. I'm ready. Let's talk some patch notes, baby.
Hell yes, patch 8.7 has hit the riff, so we have much to talk about, tons of changes, lots of good stuff, a lot of stuff I really agree with, so I think this is a very, very good patch. I'm excited to see this. I watched Freak's patch notes, and he said that MSI will likely be played on 8.8, so if you're looking for professional play on this patch, it's probably going to be in one of the foreign leagues. That would be either LPL, I guess probably not LCK, because they're already into playoffs, and possibly LMS. I know that they're playing on 8.6 for their playoffs, so that would be the previous live patch, but a lot of big changes in this patch, so I think it's a good patch to put out before they sort of tune things a little bit for 8.8, so not a lot of professional play on 8.6, so I think any things that seem too OP is going to be tweaked for 8.8, and that's what we're going to see at MSI, so much excited. Yes. So let's see, let me do show announcements first. So all of our podcast feeds have been updated, and if you're downloading the podcast, it's likely coming from Podbean, so at least according to Google and iTunes, and also Spotify has been updated. I'm not sure if that needs propagation time, but all of that stuff was allegedly updated today. I'm hoping, again, as I mentioned on Tuesday, that this is a seamless change for you as the end user, but again, if you have any problems accessing the podcast or your feed gets fucked up, please feel free to hit us up. You can find us on Twitter at Sixdorans. You can tweet me if you want at Wayne Payton. It'll also say Dr. Rhythm on there, so you can kind of figure that out, put two and two together. And then, of course, just hit us up on Discord. I'm still working on tweaking the website. We will get that updated this weekend. And then, of course, you'll see our brand new website, which is hosted on Podbean. So shout out to them. They have been very gracious in this transition and have helped me figuring out some of the technical stuff that needs to happen on the back end to make this all possible, switching podcast hosts. And then, of course, you know, making it easy for you guys, because I don't want you guys to have to fight to, like, find the show. So, anyways, all of that aside, let's talk about solo queue weeks. Why don't we hear from you first, Cole? How you doing? Where you ranking at? What you playing? What's the vibe?
I haven't played too much solo queue, but I've played a lot of norms with my buddies. I guess things I've seen from my norms is that Darius is still very good in top lane. New Irelia isn't that bad into the right matchups. It's just like it used to be, just if you get an advantage before she gets Trinity Force, you're all right. If you let her get Trinity Force and you get behind, you're behind the eight ball like you used to be. I guess other than that, like, Kaisa's really good if she can get ahead. Otherwise, she's pretty bad behind. Yeah, just Swain's still good even after nerfs.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much all of that. I actually think Kaisa's broken, dude. I think she's, like, stupid fucking strong. But
yeah, I think she definitely can be.
I mean, maybe that's just the games that I've played where I've seen her get really ridiculous, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I've been banning Darius pretty much consistently. I'm not sure with this patch what exactly I'm going to ban. Obviously, there were no changes to Darius, so he should pretty much remain the same. He'll probably be one of my top bans as well. Top not meaning the position, but, like, one of the bans that are definitely a priority for me. He does get banned quite a lot in solo queue, so, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I just don't like playing against him. He's just way too snowbally, especially for lower ELO. But yeah, I definitely agree with all that. So, yeah, what's up with your rank? You made it to plat yet, or what's going on, dude?
Nah, I haven't actually played much ranked lately. Again, just more norms with my buddies, but I'm sitting at gold 2, I think, like, 16 LP or something like that. But anyway, that's where I'm sitting at. What about you?
Well, we might have to make a skin bet or something, because I'm getting close. I am currently in series to gold 3. I played a game.
Climbing
just
quick, I see.
Yeah, I've been playing quite a lot. I finally found some time to play. I found some champions I like to play, and things have been working out well. I played a lot of Trundle. like 2 weeks ago, I don't think I played much Trundle, but I now have 17 games on him. 4 KDA, 76% win rate. So playing a lot of Trundle and winning a lot, although I did lose the game that I played earlier today. My mid laner, my ADC died 12 times, so it's kind of hard to come back from that. But that aside, I've been doing really, really well. I ranked up in Flex Queue. I'm now Silver 1. I was just kind of playing Flex, and then I played a game with Impact the other day, and when it was over, it was like, hey, you've been promoted, and I was like, oh, yeah. I was, like, in a series or something. So, good times. And I actually won the game after that as well, too. I played a Kane game. So, that was actually on the new patch. He did get some changes in this patch. I think he's a little bit better, but we'll talk about him specifically when we get there. And then as far as top lane's concerned, 10 Cho'Gath games, 8-2 record on Cho'Gath. I think Cho'Gath got even better in this particular patch, specifically due to one of the size changes. So I will be continuing to play Cho'Gath. I think he's easy to play. I think he's really, really strong. You can definitely carry games on him. You pretty much just have to survive lane, and he's actually pretty good at that. So get out there and play some Cho'Gath, people. But yeah, that's been my solo queue experience. So it's been good. Winning a lot, so I'm excited. Definitely want to get to Platinum. Again, my goal for the season was Plat 3. I'd really like to get the Diamond. I just don't know if that's realistic or not. I'm going to have to definitely up my game quite a bit to do that. As far as Flex Queue is concerned, once I get to Gold, I pretty much won't care anymore. That's sort of just like a queue that I play when I play with, you know, people who are like bronze or something like that, who I can't queue with normally, you know, or just with friends who don't play a lot. I'm like, yeah, let's play a flex, because it's a little bit more serious than a ranked game, right? And the people are at least somewhat competitive versus like normals, which is like completely fucking troll. So I'm excited to get that task sort of taken care of for the season. So anything else on solo queue before we move on?
No, I think we're good so far. I can't really think of anything.
Sweet. Well, let's hop over to these patch notes. So a lot of changes here, some focused at pro play, some interesting changes, especially the one to minions. But we'll start at the top. You mentioned Aurelia. She is updated and released on this patch. So strong champion. I like the kit. I don't think that it's broken. I think she's just a good champion. It's hard to tell because it's only been a couple of days, and I don't think people really understand how her kit works. Her E is definitely new, where you throw the daggers out and you have to line it up for the stun. If you can line up the stun properly, it's very, very strong. She doesn't have as much built-in sustain in her kit as she used to, and her...
I'm pretty sure E's a slow, isn't it? Or is it a stun?
It's an actual stun if you land
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's the double dagger thing. I was thinking of the thing where she spins around with the blades. That's my bad. That's the damage reduction. Yeah,
yeah, that one's weird because you can't move while you cast it.
Honestly, it feels like it doesn't fit in too well.
That I was going to say the exact same thing. It feels really counterintuitive to her kit, where you want to be jumping around, you want to be moving, lining up, you know, your E and making angles happen, things like that, and then you have to stop to get damage reduction.
And like, I think maybe they thought they were doing something like Master Yi, where he has his W where he heals and has huge damage reduction for a minute, but this doesn't even feel close to that. This just feels, the W feels useless in a way. It's only a way to get like a free mark. I'm not even sure if it marks.
It's really weird how it works, so I don't know. I'd say more to be seen. I think her ultimate's a lot of fun. I think it's a cool ability.
Yes.
Like, not...
I don't think it's game-changing, but definitely cool.
But it's cool. Like, people can't auto-attack, you know?
Yeah.
It's really, really good, and it causes people to make decisions in the game with, like, do I walk through it, or I just stand in here and try to, like, tank Aurelia and maybe out-DPS her and kill her before she can get to me? Like, there's a lot of cool interactions with that, so... I'm interested to see what some of our high elo friends do with Aurelia and what we see out of pro play from her. So I'm hoping that she's enabled for MSI. Well, I assume she will be if they're playing on patch 8.8. But
so what do you think about her from what you've seen in game so far?
I think she's good. I feel the same way about her that I felt about Kai'Sa when she came out, mm-hmm. that her kit's interesting and very different. And it feels strong, but we need more time to kind of figure out exactly how to use her correctly. Like, I'm not even sure the builds people are going on her are correct. I know a lot of people like to get Tiamat early in the game, and then transition to a Trinity Force, and then you build the Tiamat into Titanic Hydra, and then you just go like pure tank after that. I'm not sure that's right or not. Like, I don't know. I can look up her numbers really quick, but I it's just it's kind of early to tell, dude. Like, what do you think?
I mean, I've seen her in about 6 or 7 games, and first of all, I don't think people are particularly good at her yet. Second of all, I think it's kind of required based on her kit to have her really figured out, because the way I figure it is, if you ever want to duel, you have to stack that passive. Also, I think she's okay at trading early, but you have to set it up like old Irelia. And then I think if she gets behind, she's really behind the 8-ball. Because I was playing Darius into Irelia today, and that matchup's just as bad as the old matchup used to be, except when she hit 6 and she ulted me, I was like, all right, I'll kill you inside your ult. Like, it didn't really feel particularly effective when she was behind.
Yeah, so people might be scared and running away from it when really they should just stand and fight.
Yeah, so when people learn it, I think, like, this champion's going to be back to where she was.
Yeah, interesting that her, let's see, her E and R, yeah, E and R have AP ratios, actually pretty good AP ratios too, 80% and then 70. But AD ratios for her Q and W, yeah, the W feels really, really weird in her kit.
Yeah.
But you're right, you definitely have to stack, what I know, Ionian Fervor stacks or whatever these are called.
Yeah.
If you want to be able to duel, because all the ratios and like good shit's based on that.
And that honestly feels like you require Yorick levels of setup to just trade in lane.
So really bad levels of setup to be able to trade in lane.
Basically.
Yeah, and I guess she does have healing on her Q now. It's actually a percentage of your AD, and that's a percentage of flat AD, not a percentage of bonus AD. So that's pretty good for like when you're trying to wave clear and sustain in lane. But yeah, the damage reduction is cool. Like, I mean, when you max out W, it's 65% plus 10% per 100 AP. Like, that's pretty damn good. But I don't know, dude. It seems weird. So I think we just need more time to figure out whether or not she's really, really good. I feel like overall her kit's pretty strong. Maybe she needs a little bit more damage. Like, her Q only does 10 to 90 damage. I realize that it resets and you can pretty much spam it. And it does have a 70% AD ratio.
Like the old Q. Not much different than the old Q.
Yeah, she just doesn't seem to get the amount of damage out of her other abilities that she used to. Like, I mean, the stun is 80 to 240, which is pretty
Stun's
good damage.
Better than it used to be. It's better than her old CC ability.
It's harder to hit, though.
Yeah. Well, kind of. If as long as you line it up, it's there. Like, it's kind of hard to dodge.
Yeah, and she doesn't have the tenacity built into her kit anymore, too, which was her old passive.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of what's inhibiting players who are used to playing her, where they would get that passive tenacity and then be able to move around in fights a little bit easier and win some of the trades you wouldn't normally win because you're not being CC'd for as long. But I don't know. It's tough for me to say right now, but I think it's a good rework, and she's a strong champion.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I think she's a little weak right now, but maybe people will figure out, and then she'll be busted, so who knows.
Hey, if we know how Riot does reworks now, they're just going to keep buffing her until she's good.
Yeah.
Right?
And then, like, we'll be begging for her to be nerfed.
Yeah. Hashtag nerf Aurelia, right? All right, so let's move on. That's initial impressions on Aurelia. We'll get back to that and touch on that next week as well, too. A little bit more time and a lot more, a lot larger sample size, I should say. So Gragas is first up in the patch notes. I think it's funny that these are normally in alphabetical order. E definitely comes before G, but Gragas is first before Elise. All right. Q ability power ratio increased. W ability power ratio increased. W damage reduction now scales with ability power. W damage reduction duration increased or decreased, I should say. That's funny that they mention that, but they don't actually have numbers for that. So ability power ratio on Q barrel roll is only up by 0.1, but that's good for his wave clear. W ability power ratio 0.5 instead of 0.3, and then Drunken Rage now grants additional damage reduction equal to 4% per 100 ability power. That's pretty good. I think these are good changes for Gragas. He definitely is a champion that is not being played right now. His kit's so solid that as long as his numbers aren't super shitty, he is viable. My question is, they changed all these things on his abilities, and it seems like they want you to play lane Gragas, specifically like mid full AP one shot people Gragas. I think this could encourage people to play top lane Gragas because of the damage reduction off of the ability power, and you go some kind of tanky build where you build like Rod of Ages. But all that being said, I just think there's better champions out there to play right now. And as far as jungle Gragas is concerned, the big thing I've been hearing is, yeah, you can go Runic Echoes into like tanky AP items now, but I just don't know if that's a role right now. There are just so many other tanky type champions that seem so much better, but possibly a good choice for solo queue. What do you think, Cole?
I definitely agree with you. I just think we're at that point.
He just needs a lot of buffs.
Yeah.
Or other things to get nerfed, for that matter. That could also bring him back into the meta. He's got a strong kit, though. I actually played a game of him in Flux Queue the other night. I went Runic Echoes. Let me see what else I built. I had no idea what to build on him. Oh, I built Abyssal Mask as my second item, which is weird to build out of the jungle. I don't think it's actually a very good item to build out of the jungle, but the enemy team had 3 magic damage dealers, and then a Camille and a Vayne, who both actually do pack a little bit of magic damage in their kit, so it seemed appropriate. But overall, I was like, meh, he's okay. Like, good kit. I ran Aftershock on him. I was like, well, Aftershock should make up for the fact that I'm not building super tanky items early and I'm building a little bit of AP, but it didn't feel too great. His jungle clear is okay, but I was like, eh, I don't know. I need to play some more games on him to make a real determination, but that was my initial impression.
Yeah, no, I have to agree. I think he just needs a little more. I think he hasn't been buffed enough, or at least in the right places. Because I tried him AP as well, and I just don't think he's there yet.
Yeah, I think this might be good for top lane Gragas. Like, I could see you going Comet, and like, so Roa is an obvious choice, and then maybe like Iceborne Gauntlet or something like that could be really good.
Yeah. I think it's too much work to try and put him top. I honestly think, like, you gotta play him jungle, but maybe Cinderhulk's better, but I think he's just not as good as a lot of the stuff we see in there right now.
Yeah, and that's a weird thing too, right? Is it seems natural for him to build Cinderhulk, but they're really encouraging you to build AP here. But if you build Cinderhulk, you're probably not going to build a bunch of AP items. So
yeah, I mean, like, what are you going to do? Build, like, Cinderhulk into Roa into Rabies? Like,
yeah, Shirelius could be good on him. Like, it allows him to close the gap on people.
And I mean, I'm sure he just doesn't get enough AP from it.
Yeah, it's only 40 ability power, so it's like...
And, like, your support should be building that.
Yeah, it's not a great item for junglers. Like, it's more so an item geared
only
towards support.
Or Nunu.
Yeah, maybe. So, anyways, let's move on. Elise is up next. Spider Q, base damage increased. Human E cooldown decreased to early ranks. TLDR on these changes... I think if you're playing in high-level Korean solo queue, Elise is much better. She does see play in higher ELOs, especially in Korea. She's definitely a champion that I think very skilled players like to play because you can outplay people with her kit. But for most people that play this game, not a very strong champion. People that are Elise mains will rejoice. 2 seconds off the cooldown on E Cocoon at rank 1 is amazing. And that is one of the abilities that you don't level first. You level Q first, and then W, and then E. So getting the extra 2 seconds off of that cooldown is really nice. So, yeah, that's good. Venomous Bite, the base damage is up a little bit, so that's nice. But it's only 10 per rank, so it's not that big of a deal. I think this will encourage more people to play her, but I would say she's mediocre compared to some of the other really strong junglers.
Yes, I think she definitely needs buffed. I think there's a fine line when we're talking about Elise buffs, though, because I think she's either really good or just not very useful. I don't think this will be enough to put her over the edge, so I don't think, like, we'll be like, oh, Elise is going to be amazing again, but she'll either be really good or she'll just not be relevant.
Yeah, I could see her being picked on this patch in, like, a professional match if a lot of junglers were banned. And you're picking a jungler in like the second phase, and your strategy is to just gank lanes and snowball the game. But there are champions like Olaf that do that better, and Olaf actually has value later in the game because he can be a little bit tanky and not be CC'd.
Yeah.
So I think it's tough to be to pick her in a game. So.
Oh, most definitely. And especially, I guess, like how prioritized Jungle Clear is at the moment. Because Elise isn't going to have a fun day invading a Skarner or an Olaf or anything like that.
Yeah, those champions just clear so much better than she does. And while her level 3 might be better, they can just clear the jungle, like do a full clear, get level 4, at least gets one gank off.
Or she runs through a Sejuani and a Zac, and they just kind of like laugh at her damage.
Yeah. Yeah, and even if she does get that one gank off, if it's not super successful, like say she ganks top lane, right, while you're doing a full clear with Olaf, like they get one kill, the top laner just teleports back to the lane, and they're fine, right? Whereas you hit level 4 and did an entire clear of your jungle, and now you're ready to go into her jungle and fight her, and she's behind, right? So
yeah, basically.
Yeah, this is not that strong right now. So speaking of not that strong, Hecarim, W healing increased. The heal on W, Spirit of Dread, is 30% of damage taken by enemies instead of 20. It's up by 50%. I still think Hecarim sucks. Don't play this champion right now. He gets absolutely fucked by Ninja Tabby. Ninja Tabby were nerfed in this patch, and we'll talk about that when we get to the item section. But I think he's just too slow right now, and he just doesn't get tanky enough quick enough versus some of the other junglers, which have a much higher impact on the game. So, meh is what I have to say for this change.
Yeah, basically. Exactly. Like, she's just not going to be that good.
Yeah, agreed. Speaking of not that good, Ivern, they made some changes to him. He still sucks. I was very excited about changes to Ivern because there was talk on the PBE of him getting changes to the way his passive works, and I think that's generally the best place to balance him. At one point, he was very broken because his clear was absolutely ridiculous, but they really did nothing to increase his clear. Like, the Brushmaker range, this is basically reverting a nerf that was previously on there. The cast range is now 1,000 instead of 800. That's nice, especially if you're playing in higher ELOs where vision really matters. If you're playing in lower ELOs, nobody fucking cares. So I'd say for 90% of the people that play this game, that change doesn't mean shit. The bug fix with this Q dashing over walls, whatever, that's nice if you're an Ivern main, but whatever, it doesn't make his clear any better. And then Daisy more aggressively acquires enemies to attack. Daisy's AoE damage reduction now also protects her from epic monsters. Whatever. I think there's way better champions. Like, Nunu's a fucking beast, and he does pretty much the same thing. Just play Nunu instead. Olaf and Skarner clear the jungle faster than he does, so when he's trying to clear the jungle and do Ivern things, he just gets dicked by these tanks that he can't kill that can just clear the jungle faster and invade him. So I think this is a weird change, and I think he's still bad.
I agree. I also think that when they decided that Daisy doesn't regen health anymore at all, that she's just going to be much worse than Tibbers forever. Because Tibbers actually regens health. But Tibbers also deals damage when you cast it.
So yeah, and Tibbers does a lot of fucking damage, by the way, just in general. Whereas Daisy's just like, hey, I knock people up, and hopefully you can make a play off of that. That's pretty much all she does.
I'm annoying for two auto attacks till the ADC kills me.
Yeah, exactly. Or somebody smites me. Or there's a ton of different ways. Cinder can pick her up and throw her. Like, yeah, Sion. You know, there's lots of champions in the meta right now that just easily deal with her, so... Let's move on. Karthus Q base damage increased. It's a good change. When you get... I can't remember what it's called, but like the isolation proc or whatever, it actually does more damage. Instead of an extra 10, it'll do an extra 20. So like, this is good. Karthus is not terrible, per se, if you're good at playing him. So Karthus means rejoice. This buff is definitely for you. You get a little extra damage out of your Q. I think it helps his early game a lot, which is where he struggles. He's clearly a scaling-type champion, and I think a buff is definitely due for him because of some of the changes they made to masteries, runes, which we'll talk about later. But I still think Karthus is pretty good pick. Like, he's not bad in solo queue.
Yep.
All right, Kane is up next. Passive gains more points early, fewer points later. So increase the amount of points gained from interacting with enemy champions pre 10 minutes, decrease the amount of points gained from interacting with enemy champions post 15 minutes. And then Q, Reaping Slash, quality life buff. Other abilities can now be queued up while casting Q. The main purpose of this is when you Q and then want to W right afterwards, it's a lot smoother. I played Kane actually last night, and it was very, very smooth. You can also Q and then Q up. That's a weird sentence to say, but Q up his ultimate. So once you come in, land a little bit of damage, you can ultimate immediately, and people will miss their crowd control spells or whatever other big spells they were going to use to peel away from you. If they flash, of course, your ultimate, you'll travel with them, so on and so forth. Good quality of life changes for Kane. I still think the problem with him is there is a lot of RNG in which form that you get first. Obviously, if you're really good at this game, you can sort of predict which lanes you're going to gank, and in a team setting, possibly set up ganks so that you can get the form that you want. I think that Red Kane is far superior to Blue Kane right now. So when I played him last night, I was attacking lanes early, and I thought that the passive stacked up very, very quickly. I got my transformation at roughly 11 minutes. However, I got the fucking assassin transformation, which I did not want. So I had to wait 3.5 minutes to get the transformation. So a transformation at 15 minutes is still pretty good, but Kane feels really weak overall until he transforms. So I think he might still have a little bit of problems. Like, you probably won't see him in like organized play or professional play, but he's still a decent solo queue champ, and if you like to play him, like, this will help you out a lot.
Yeah, I think he's not too... I mean, like, yeah, there's no way we're going to see him in professional play, but... And I guess solo queue, like, he's really good. Like, all you have to do to, like, make up for, like, that terrible damage in your early game is just be creative. If you can be creative and get your ganks, like, you're set. And, like, if you get an early transformation, you can carry the game. So, like, Kane actually feels really good to play, and he's not too bad.
Yeah, red form feels great, especially with some of the runes. Yeah. Like, Ravenous Hunter is awesome on him. When you get definitely. Red transformation, it does so much healing on you. Like, you can really, like, sort of drain tank fights by casting your abilities. And if you use your ultimate properly, you can dodge a lot of damage and or...
And get, like, 70% of your health back off your ult.
Yeah, like, you can dodge skill shots with it. He has a lot of cool tricks in his kit. His E is obviously really good, being able to travel through walls. So I think he'll be a strong solo queue champion. Just don't think we'll see him in pro play.
Yeah, and then, let's see. I think Shadow Assassin's really good, too.
I think it's a little weak right now. But, I mean, with some of the changes in this patch, Assassins in general should probably be better, right?
I think he was already a good user of Ghostblade before Dustblade got nerfed. So building Ghostblade first felt really good on Assassin Kane before, since he already had so much innate damage. I think that if you build Ghostblade first and then just go a different path, like, Assassin Kane isn't bad either. But again,
yeah, like Warrior, Ghostblade, and yeah. Then, like, what would you build next? Maybe Dustblade? It's still good.
Yeah, Dustblade's still good. That, or you could go more of a Cleaver route if you really wanted to just be sticky.
Yeah, that's true.
You could go more of a lifesteal route with the
Death Dance.
Yeah, Death Dance. It's probably that, or maybe like a Hydra, because like having an auto attack resets you always good.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to try it out. I do like to play Kane myself. I generally build Red Kane, but I think Assassin Kane's good in the right situation. I think the problem for me is, I play solo queue, I'm gold 4, so, like, no one plays tanks, even though tanks are super fucking good and have been good for months.
Yeah, see, so, like, if there's a tank on the enemy team, like, you don't really want to play Assassin Kane. If you're playing against squishies and they have, like, 3 ranged characters, Assassin Kane's good.
Yeah, and that's always my thing, is usually when I get into a game, it's like, well, there's fucking no tanks on our team, so I kind of have to build tank for those team fights. But maybe I should just start building Assassin and try to blow people up. But anyways, let's move on. Leona's up next. Leona defaults to attack damage as her default adaptive stat. I guess this is a thing because it used to default to AP. So this will help with Leona's early game. I think it's an interesting change, and I kind of like it. But I don't know if Leona will be any better than she is right now. She's pretty good into the right matchup. She sucks against things like Alistar. Not so great against Thresh, especially if it's a skilled player, and gets hard countered by Janna, who's the most winningest and highest played support right now. So probably will continue to struggle despite this change.
Yeah, I agree. Leona needs a lot of help, especially when Janna's so good, and Janna's always good.
Yeah, Janna just needs to get nerfed. Lux is up next. Our cooldown refund on kill increased to early ranks also triggers on enemy champions who die shortly after being hit by Final Spark. Great change for Lux. Lux, a great solo queue champion, especially good in the lower ELOs. I've always been told, although I'm not a mid player, that if you want to play mid, you should learn how to play Lux, because she's not that hard, has long range, pretty safe into most matchups. So, yeah, get out there and play some Lux, kids. I think this is a good change overall. You know, you're going to get more refund on your R cooldown, so you'll be able to use that Final Spark more. And in addition, cooldown refund is granted if one or more enemies die within 1.75 seconds of being hit by Final Spark. So that means any type of burn damage that's on them, or if an enemy cleans up that kill right afterwards, you'll still get the reset on the ultimate. I like the change.
I like the change, but I don't think it'll be that effective. I don't think Lux's problem has ever been her ult. Like, every time they buff Lux, they just buff her cooldown on her ult. Like, it feels like this is what happens every time they buff her. I feel like she needs more changes or more buffs in other areas if she wants to be top of the table.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she's just a good, like, solo queue champion. If you're trying to get out of, like, bronze, dude, play some Lux. Like, she's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And not that hard to play.
Life is great.
Hell yeah. So, Malphite's up next. Very interesting change to Malphite. Attack damage growth stat increased, E ratio increased, R cooldown decreased. So, all of these buff, attack damage growth stat actually gets a lot out of this. It used to be 3.375. It's now just flat 4. So, that's 4 attack damage every level. That's quite a bit. That will help his last hitting. And then, of course, Ground Slam AP ratio is now 0.6 instead of 0.2. Interesting note here, I saw a thread on Reddit where someone was comparing to building Frozen Heart versus Rod of Ages. And actually, early in the game, it's completely even because of the amount of extra damage you get from armor. But later in the game, the Roa becomes a little bit better, but it all depends on your lane matchup, and Roa doesn't really give you any defensive stat. It's more so like lane sustain, so it's kind of like you have to choose. And then of course Unstoppable Force cooldown 130 to 80 down from 130 to 100. This is good because with 40% CDR you're gonna get his, and I guess if you take ultimate hat, you're probably gonna be in like the 40s for cooldown at max rank, so level 16, which is great because that's pretty much his entire kit. The rest of his kit is not great. It's decent for team fighting, but his early laning phase is very, very poor. And while these buffs do help that, I just think there's better tanks out there. Like Sion ult can get down to, I think it's 34 seconds for his ultimate with ultimate hat and max CDR, which are things that you can very easily take on him. So even then you're going to have a lower cooldown on a champion like Sion, who packs way more CC, way more useful in a team fight. All that being said, you can win solo queue games with Malphite because his ultimate's devastating. People tend to bunch up and walk through narrow corridors. But I don't know. I think it's interesting, but I'm not sure whether or not it's going to be good.
Malphite is only as good as his ability to not get smashed in top lane.
That's a good way to put it. I completely agree.
Like, if you can survive your lane and not lose lane and not be down too much CS because your kit requires you to just be a rock and lose all your mana whenever you cast Q, you'll be all right. But whenever you can't do that and all you're useful for is your ult, then you're not really all that useful.
I should probably try him because I think the new mana flow ban might be broken, and that would actually probably work really well with his kit. We'll talk about that when we get to mana flow ban. So,
but that being said, you're gonna have to primary resolve no matter what with this guy.
Oh, I completely agree.
Like having to play against the new Conqueror rune as a tank doesn't feel as good in the top lane anymore.
Against which rune?
The Conqueror rune, the one that gives you percentage true damage, which is disgusting.
Yeah, which completely gets around his passive shield. So, yeah, probably a situational pick, but I'd like to try him out. He's too slow for the jungle, as far as I know.
Most definitely.
His clear is, like, super fucking bad. There's, like, way better tanks you can play out of the jungle.
It's like shit jungle.
yeah, it's not so good. So, Nocturne's up next. Bonus attack damage increased while on Q trail. It's just an extra 5 damage at every rank. They keep buffing this champion, so eventually he's going to be good.
I feel like they want him to be good, but darn it if he's just not going to get there till they finally update him.
Yeah, to me, he's a win more champion. The game I actually played earlier that I lost, where my mid lane and my bot lane died 12 times. And when I say bot lane, I mean just my ADC. That does not include the support deaths. But like he snowballed pretty hard off of that, because basically what happened was Fizz was playing against Galio mid lane, and I have no idea how Fizz did it, but he completely stomped this Galio into the ground. And like literally in the mid game at some point, I was playing Chundle. I got comboed by Fizz without his ultimate. It did 1,000 damage. I was like, what the fuck? I have like 2,300 hit points. Like, this is stupid. So I think it was a bit of an anomaly. And to me, it's like, it doesn't matter what jungler the enemy was playing, that Fizz was going to take that game over. So I don't know. I just don't like Nocturne. I've played a lot of him 2 or 3 seasons ago.
I think he's in a pretty okay spot. Like, if you're playing in solo queue games, like you said, where the enemy team doesn't really have a tank and you don't either, like, Nocturne's fine. He clears really quick and he clears really healthy. And once you get 6, it's basically like free kills whenever your ult's off cooldown.
Yeah, because people are constantly out of position. So, I mean, he definitely has a place in solo queue, and I don't think he's terrible, but I don't know. I'm just like, meh.
I mean, he's not top tier by any means. Like, if you want to be good in the jungle, just play Warwick.
Yeah, who's way better than he is.
Yeah.
All right, Olaf's up next. This is a nerf for pro play, mostly. Our initial movement speed buff decreased. The haste towards enemy champions was 50 to 70%. It's now 20 to 70%. You're really probably only going to feel that at the initial rank, so, you know, your first ultimate rank, because it goes from 50 to 20%.
Well, and that being said, if you're already building Predator or Righteous Glory, are you really going to feel, like, the difference between 700 movement speed and 680?
Exactly. It's going to be the same. So I like that they took a look at him, because I think Olaf is very strong and very good at taking over early games. I actually think he might be a decent top laner. Like, he's that strong, at least for solo queue, not for like organized play, but definitely one of the better junglers in professional play. He's actually listed as the I believe it's the second best jungler in like overall performance for organized play across all leagues, Sejuani of course being number one. But yeah, so I think he's really strong. I think this is a fine like little tweak to him, to where they're not nerfing him into the ground. Still viable, still really strong, uses Predator really, really well. So I don't have any problem with Olaf.
Cool.
All right, Quinn's up next. Several bug fixes related to R. Quinn has a ridiculous win rate top lane. I believe it's 54%. Don't play this champion in my games. I hate Quinn. I think she's absolute cheese. But after the changes that were made to her in the last patch, very, very strong champion. How do you feel about Quinn?
I hate Quinn. I hate seeing her. I hate when she's okay. And right now, like, I don't think she's good, but she's okay. Honestly, I feel like it's kind of throwing if you pick this champ in the top lane at the moment, because of how, like, how many good things there are in top lane right now. But, I mean, like, I don't know. If you're a one-trick Quinn, then you can play Quinn.
Yeah, I just find her to be so cheesy. Like, I played a game with Impact. I think we were playing Flex Q.
Oh, yeah, like, if she gets ahead, like, game's over. Like, you lost. But, like,
yeah,
there's no reason this champion should get ahead.
But there's no consistency in her either, because Impact was playing her and he didn't get like a really good matchup top lane, because he picked Quinn before the enemy top laner was picked. So he just got behind. And like Quinn behind is like total shit. So
yes,
you have to completely dominate your lane. And then not only do you have to completely dominate your lane, but you have to go to other lanes and dominate them too. So, and he was like playing against, maybe it was just a game I was watching him stream, but like he was getting camped. Oh, he's playing against an Aatrox, right? And he got camped by the enemy Rammus, which has got to be like so frustrating, dude, because Rammus like totally fucks you when you play Quinn, right? So yeah, he just got dicked on, and I was like, yep, that's Quinn. Like, either you shit all over your lane and completely, you know, ruin the game for everyone and win the game like 1v9, or you just get shit on and it's basically a 4v5. So that's why I don't like this champion.
Yeah, no, I think you're completely spot on.
Nice. All right, Rengar's up next. Base attack damage increased 68, used to be 65, and fixed the number of cases where Rengar would stop attacking and stand still after using Q on an enemy champion. I hate Rengar. I hope he's not good. Yeah, fuck Rengar. Like,
yeah, honestly.
I say it every week because they buff him all the time, but I have no idea why they changed him in the first place. I thought he was fine. So they're just continuing to tweak him. Fucking ugh, Rengar.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like, I don't know, man. Is it going to be like Jarvan and 5 armor? No, yeah, I don't think those champs are good.
Dude, Jarvan and 5 armor, what a fucking meme, dude. It's so true, though.
No, it most definitely is.
Alright, Rumble's up next. I do love me some Rumble, dude. I will be very happy if we see some more Rumble play. I've actually seen a little bit of it in streams and whatnot. Not in any of my solo queue games just yet. I will probably actually play a little bit of Rumble myself, probably up in that flex queue. I'm curious to whether or not you can jungle on him, because they changed his Flame Spitter damage. So the base damage is now 175 to 315. It used to be 135 to 315. The damage to minions is now 60 to 80% based on the number of ranks that you have in it. So obviously this will not allow you to super clear like lane minions, but it specifically says minions, so therefore it does not apply to monsters, which you will see in the jungle. So I'm curious if the Rumble jungle is back. I think Rumble jungle is a lot of fun. It's only situationally good depending on what your laners pick. If you can actually get someone to play a champion top lane that's either like a fighter or a tank that has CC, I think Rumble jungle is very good. If everyone picks shit like Master Yi and Yasuo and then you have to pick Rumble jungle, it's not so good because you need CC with him, namely to land your ult. Like, that's the biggest thing, is his ult's pretty easy to walk away from, and yes, it does a veritable fuck ton of damage. But if you can get people CC'd and then drop the ult on them, then they get fucked. Like, that's what you're really looking for. You know, like the classic combos, like the Jarvan ults and traps three people in there. You drop the ult on top of them. That's a really, really good combo. But it just seems like people are dumb and low elo and don't play champions with CC. So you get kind of screwed if you pick something like Rumble, who doesn't have great CC. I mean, his ultimate slows, his E slows. But, nah, like, you know, he sort of falls short unless you can get the game snowballing in your favor, because his late game's not great. But I like this change to Rumble, and I hope that we see more of him.
Yeah, I think he needs a lot more help. I think the fact that this doesn't help him shove lane or be more of a lane bully kind of sucks. I don't think he's going to be good in the jungle. Wait, does this change apply to monsters? Like, I know you just talked about it, but
only applies to minions, not to monsters.
Maybe he'll be good in the jungle. I don't know if this like will like make his Raptor clear insane, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I'm interested to try all this stuff out. I actually should probably do it in practice tool, because the money thing on Rumble was that you could like leash the red buff, kill the Raptors at the same time. You know, you remember that? Like, you could do that because of Flame Spitter, and then you have the Hunter's Talisman, because the Hunter's Talisman gives you health back for damaging, you know, multiple things. Like, every time you hit one of the Raptors with Flame Spitter, you get health back. So there could be some cheese you could pull off with him to get a pretty quick clear out of him. But, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we talked about it earlier with the tanks, is tanks clear the jungle so damn fast that if you're not playing a champion that clears quickly, it must be a champion that ganks lanes really well. And even then, it's still a risk, and you could possibly still lose the game to a tank who just, like, straight-up farms the shit out of the jungle. So, we'll see. I think it's an interesting change, though. I want to try him top lane, too. I think Rumble's a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, I think you're 100% right on that. Again, you'll have to try and test him, because you won't know unless you play it.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it feels and stuff, too. So, and he has a new skin out, too. So, I'm actually going to look up how much the skin costs, too, because I kind of want to buy it, because, well, I like this champion a lot, and I don't have any good skins for him, and I hate the Super Galaxy skin. I think the Super Galaxy skin is fucking complete trash. How say you on Super Galaxy skin, by the way? Cole. Oh. Yeah, he muted himself, so. Anyways, moving on. Sejuani is up next. Health growth stat decreased. E-stun duration decreased at later ranks. So her base health is, used to be 95, is now 88. And then permafrost stun duration was 1 to 2 seconds, is now 1 to 1.4. I think this hurts her quite a bit in the sense that she's... I mean, 0.6 doesn't seem like a lot, but for organized play and high-level play, that actually does mean a lot. So it's going to hurt her. Like I mentioned earlier, she's the number one performing jungler for professional play right now across all leagues. So not having that extra health, I mean, it's about 100 health at level 18, so that's not a huge deal, but remember, you're getting extra health off of that because it's amplified by Cinderhulk, which is what you're building on her. She has a lot of abilities, too, that do damage based upon health, so that also, like, makes her do a slight less amount of damage. So I think this is a pretty big nerf to Sejuani. We might see her fall off the map in pro play in favor of like the Olafs and the Skarners of the world. Skarners have been touched. Zac too. So those champions haven't been touched in a while, and they're still all really, really strong. So she may fall off the face here. No one plays her in solo queue like below platinum, which is insane to me. This champion is really good. I've played.
It's literally free low.
Yeah, I've played like 12 games on her. I think I have like a 75% win rate with her because she's like so fucking strong. But I never see her anymore. So I don't know, man. But it's really going to hurt her for like pro play. This is like pretty much a nerf for like pro play, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, damn, dude. That fucking Rumble skin's not out yet. There's only two available in the store right now, and it's not that skin.
Dang.
That sucks. Well, I want that skin. If it looks good in game, maybe I'll have to Google it. But all right. Next up, Shaco Q bonus damage ratio reduced. Window to proc bonus damage and cooldown reduction effect reduced. I like this change a lot. I think it's very fair. Shaco is obviously overtuned. He's still really strong. I think the biggest change here is Shaco's next basic attack within 0.25 seconds of exiting invisibility deals bonus damage and reduces Deceive's cooldown. So you really have to get in there when you want to pop out a stealth. So you have to time things correctly. And that kind of incentivizes you to put points in queue, which people were already doing anyways because of the broken-ass ratios they put on there. And they nerfed the empowered attack ratio. Instead of 0.7 attack damage, it's now 0.4. So I think that's way more fair. I think it rewards more skilled play and less people just playing the champion because he's completely overtuned, which I think was what it was on the last patch.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Word.
Like, swing. Yeah, that's what it was. And then, dude, Swain dated Subjerves. He was so OP.
Oh, dude, he's still OP. Before we move on, though, do you say Shaco or Shaco?
I say Shaco.
I say Shaco, too. I don't know which one's right. I'm not a Shaco player.
Whoever says Shaco's weirdo. That's all I know.
Yeah, it sounds weird, right? I don't know. I think it's Shaco, but hashtag controversy.
Right.
Anyways, Swain's up next. Q cooldown increased at early ranks. Q base damage decreased. Definitely needed. They also kind of gave him a little quality of life buff. Ravenous Flock, his passive. The icon can now be pinged to show allies the remaining cooldown on the pole, which is very important, of course, because other champion CC can also proc this ability. But Death's Hand cooldowns up to 7.5 seconds at rank 1. It does go down to 2.5 seconds like it used to. However, the damage is down by 10 at every rank. I don't know if this is enough. It should hurt his wave clear, especially the cooldown on Q being 2 more seconds at rank 1. So his early game shouldn't be as strong. But damn, this champion's really, really strong. Like, they just continued to give him like little buffs over several patches, and he became ridiculous. He is the number one performing overall champion for all professional play in all leagues. So yes, that tells you how busted this champion is. That's why we had the whole hashtag ban Swain thing going on in EU last week. A little bit in NA too. He got let through several times, which was very surprising. So yeah, the champion's busted. He's not super easy to play. So if you want to smash solo queue, definitely get some practice on him. I practiced a little bit with him and was like, eh, I don't really like this champ, so I'm not committing to learning him. I kind of like the old Swain better as far as the kit was concerned, but maybe one day I'll get a wild hair up my ass and actually learn how to play him, because he is so busted, just not as busted as he was on the last patch.
Yeah, I agree.
Where
the heat's so disgusting right now. Like, I think he needs way more than this. I'm a little disappointed there's not, but you know.
I'm thinking what they're doing here is trying to see how he performs with just a little nerf like this, and then they'll hit him like pretty decent in 8-8, and then we'll get to see him in pro play at MSI where he's like somewhat balanced and maybe not picked or banned every game. That would be my dream here, because he's broken in the solo queue. The only reason I don't ban him every game is because Darius is like a brain dead champion, so I generally ban Darius. And, like, it actually takes skill to play Swain. If you get up against a skilled Swain, it sucks, because he's really strong. But I'll take my chances with that in the solo queue, because more people play Darius, because Darius is like, I press Q, ultimate, people die.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Warwick's Q no longer sometimes deals double damage. Haha, that's funny. Glad they fixed that bug. I do like to play Warwick, but I always lose on him, as I've talked about many, many times. But probably play some more of him this week. I should just get better at him, I guess, because my fucking 38% win rate does not cut it for a champion who wins 54% of the time in the solo queue. What the fuck?
Yeah, no, not at all.
Yeah. Hashtag unlucky for me. I like this champion too, so I should play more of him. Anyways, Zed's up next. Q fall off damage to units beyond the first decreased. So damage to units beyond the first is now 60% instead of 50%. So it's weird how they worded that, but it's actually a buff to him. Zed is still pretty much Zed. He gets a little bit of a boost because of Ninja Tabby's getting nerfed, and this will help his wave clear a little bit. But meh, I think he's a 50% win rate champion. He's in a pretty good spot right now. You won't see him in pro play. He's just not strong enough.
Yes, I agree. I think he's pretty good in solo queue right now. I definitely think he did need another buff, but he gets one. Like, I don't think they're good, because he's been getting buffed about every patch.
Yeah.
I think they're finally going to stop when he gets pro play, and when he gets seen on pro play, he's going to be super busted, and then he's going to get nerfed back into the ground. So I don't really understand all these changes.
Yeah, he seemed like he was in a good place earlier in the season. Like, I know Sanders always says he's broken, but I'm like, I think that's because you're Silver 4. Like, I don't think this champion's broken. Like, he has tons of counterplay. You just have to know how to play against him and not pick, like, really bad mid lane champions into him, because he'll stomp them in the solo queue.
Not be a noodle, yeah.
Exactly. So, I thought he was fine before, but they keep tweaking. It's just a lot like Rengar, dude. Like, just stop. Just leave them where they are. They're fine. You know, especially because Rengar was seen like pro play early in the season before they did all the fucking changes and like reverting his Q and all that crap. And I was like, yeah, dude, he's fine. Like, people that like to play Rengar and he's good. And people that don't like to play Rengar, like myself, don't play him and we're terrible at him. Right?
That's A-okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a high skill champion. Like, there's a lot of subtlety built into the kit. And for people who really enjoy the champion, that's awesome. For people who are brain dead like myself, we just don't play Rengar. I feel like Zed's the same way, but anyway.
Yes.
So let's move on to items here. That's all the champion changes for this patch. Ginsu's Rageblade, gold cost up 300 gold instead of 3,000, now 3,300. Good change. This item's pretty busted. I don't know if you've seen 1,200 AD Jhin players. Very easy to get to that 1,200 AD with, I think, 3 items you can get it. If you fully stack the Rageblade, it's broken as fuck. This item's very, very strong. I don't mind them increasing the gold price on it just a little bit.
Yeah, and like, since like it was a niche item before, and now it's just a niche item for melees. Like, I guess maybe Kog'Maw too, but still.
It's really broken on Jhin, dude. Holy shit. It's fucking so strong, dude. Like, I can't believe you. I don't really understand fully how the math works, but it's like the multipliers get so big when you stack it up. Like, you go from having, like, 600 AD, which Jhin, does have a lot of AD. It must be when you get, like, four items. But it's ridiculous, dude. Like, it gets up to, like, 1,200, dude, and then you fucking hit someone with your W, like, walking away, and it does, like, half their health. Like, it's absolutely insane. So, yeah, good change. The next one I don't really understand. So, Locket of the Iron Solari. Shield base and per level scaling decreased. Bonus health ratio increased early, decreased late. Shield cooldown increased. Shield stacking penalties are harsher. I didn't really think Locket was a problem. Apparently, Riot thinks it's a problem. And that every support and or jungle tank needs to build it. I don't know. What do you think about this change? I'm baffled by this one.
I guess as far as I'm concerned, like, I'm reading it and I'm not completely understanding it.
They just made the item worse. Like,
yeah,
it's, I guess it's better early because, like, the bonus health ratio is just a flat 20%, right? Instead of 2 to 36%, but they increase the cooldown. Multiple shield reduction amount is way higher. And then multiple shield reduction duration is even higher than that. So
apparently,
like,
they thought it was OP, so they nerfed it into the ground.
I guess, dude. Oh, like, I do they really want more people to build Zeke's? I think Zeke's is like in a good spot. It's a good item, and it's seen a lot in professional play.
I mean, if you're a champion with a shield, try to be out of range of Locket because you don't want that shield reduction.
I like. Is this targeted at like Janna and like Lulu, maybe?
I guess, but wouldn't you try and buff champions that build more health rather than nerfing the shielders, even though they're already nerfed by the multiple shield reduction?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. This seems like a weird change to me. I don't really understand it.
Especially since tank supports are in a bad place after a relic shield's been nerfed into the ground. Like, if it's optimal, so it's in pro play, so, like, you'll still see stuff like Brombit and Siliqui. Like, I think that tank supports are, like, really unoptimal because of all the relic shield nerfs.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of the math on that later, because I picked up a lot of really good tidbits from watching Freak's patch rundowns. Stuff that I can pass on since I've consumed a shit ton of content about this patch. But yeah, I don't understand the Locket change. I think people will probably just build Redemption and like Zeke's instead. You know, I've kind of been building Zeke's out of the jungle on like Trundle a lot. It's really fucking good. Like, I had a Tryndamere in my last game and he was the only person on my team who wasn't really feeding. And it does a lot of damage when Tryndamere runs in and starts auto attacking everyone and slowing them. It's,
yeah,
a really good item if you have anyone on your team that dives in. Bullshit champions like Yasuo get played a lot. It's really good with Yasuo. I got like 2,000 damage out of that item in a game, I think, putting it on a Yasuo. And that's in addition to like the slow that it provides, which keeps people in place so that, you know, champions like Trundle and Yasuo can auto them. It also slows, you know, in an AoE so that people can't get to your backline. Like, Zeke's is a really good item right now, so...
Yeah.
Anyways, Ninja Tabby. Armor decreased, base attack damage reduction increased. So this is targeted at ADCs who are building Ninja Tabby, and basically everyone's building Ninja Tabby because they're just too damn good. There is sort of a breakpoint if you really want to see that. Look for like the little imager post that Freak does with his patch notes, because he broke down like a lot of the math. I think it's a good change. It helps assassins out a lot, obviously in particular AD assassins, because they like to burst. And while they do generally auto attack as well, they will, you know, obviously suffer from that 12%. But getting 10 less armor out of this item, I think, is really good for those champions. I think overall the champions who win the most are the Conqueror AD champions that are played top lane, because they generally get screwed by this item. They will get less screwed because a lot of them rely on casting spells and autoing in between, so they'll get more damage out of their spells and then maybe slightly less damage out of their autos. So overall, I think it's a win for like fighters. How say you, Cole?
I think that this was kind of needed because Conqueror is so good. I think that it's definitely going to like, it'll be interesting to see how it evens out, because I don't know how this is really going to, like, go into effect until, like, we see it in play.
Yeah, I think it's a good change, because it's not a huge one. It's just a slight, like, shifting of where the power and the item is and make it a little more situational versus like, we build Ninja Tabby every game because it's just too efficient, right?
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts on that. So aura items. Large champions no longer become bigger than their item auras. Hey, Lamau. This is a buff to Cho'Gath, who is already really good in the solo queue. Sees a ton of play in professional play. I actually think he's viable in the jungle in solo queue. I actually think you can play him AP mid if you want to, although it's very risky. I think building tank Cho'Gath is much, much better. You still deal a fuck ton of damage with your ultimate. Even if you lose lane, you can out-sustain most champions, and you scale hard in the late game. Your ultimate does damage based upon how much health you have. Therefore, it's very easy for you to delete carries. Very, very strong kit. Still has a silence. One of the few champions left in the game that has one. An AoE silence at that. So I like Cho'Gath a lot. I think this helps him out a lot. There are a few other champions that will benefit from this, like Nunu. Will benefit from it. His size actually increases when you consume large monsters in the jungle. That would be his Q. So he'll benefit from it. And then late in the game, you're going to want to get the Tenacity Potion, which also increases your size. So that will actually help you out and make sure that your aura actually behaves correctly. And then combos like, you know, Sunfire Cape and Abyssal Mask still work, so on and so forth. But yeah, good stuff. I like this change. A little bit of a buff for those types of champions. Not anything huge, but definitely something that helps them and prevents weird bugs from happening, especially like Cho'Gath, who gets huge.
Yeah.
Okay, Relic Shield line. You talked about it earlier. The gold pretend is being nerfed. It's now 1 at every rank, or every stage of the item. It used to be 2, 4, and 4. There is a reason for this. This is a pretty big nerf for passive gold. I think it discourages people who are sort of on the borderline, like, say, Rakan or Thresh, of taking Relic Shield to not take Relic Shield. And I think only true, like, melee champions will now take Relic Shield, like the Brahms and, like, the Tahm Kench's of the world.
Yeah. I think Relic Shield has been nerfed so much that, like, I wouldn't even take it on Thresh at this point. Like, Coin's so much better now.
I completely agree.
And, like, I don't see a reason to play a Relic Shield champ unless you want to play Allie right now, because Allie's, like, really good.
Yeah, he's pretty bananas. There's a gold breakdown I want to talk about when we talk about the minion changes that I think actually has a lot to do with why they nerfed this. I mean, they did say that Relic Shield is overperforming compared to the other support items, and I think it is particularly in organized play. But when we talk about the gold breakdown for cannon minions in a little bit here, when we talk about minions, you'll kind of see why they needed to nerf this item. So let's talk about the rune changes first. Resolve Tree, path bonus grants lower health early, more late. It's a good change. I like it. It makes it so that you don't get too much health in the early game, and I think that tanks were a little bit oppressive with that, but they scale a little bit better now. Remember that this also helps too, because it is considered bonus health with things like building Cinderhulk, so you're going to get more health out of that as well. I think it improves the efficiency of that particular item.
Yes, I definitely agree. And anything else?
Yeah, no, it's good for me. I like to play a lot of shit that builds out the Resolve Tree, so yay, more health. Mana Flow Ban. So hitting enemy champions with spells grants maximum mana up to 10 times. Once max stacks have been reached, Mana Flow Ban restores missing mana every 5 seconds. I think Mana Flow Ban needed to be changed, but I think Mana Flow Ban is now fucking absolutely broken. I actually used this on Jungle Trundle earlier, and it was fucking really good, dude. And I was jungling. I wasn't even laning. But I can't... Let me look in the client, see if it tells me when I completed the quest, like how long it took in the game. But
that's
it did...
so broken.
Oh, it's so broken. It didn't take me long to complete it, but you're literally regenerating 1% of your missing... You basically have... what's that stupid fucking item that regenerates 1% of your missing mana?
I know what it is. It's that tome, that 1100 gold thing.
Chalice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically free chalice, right? So, and with Trundle, it actually counts when you hit someone with the pillar. So I would pillar, run into the lane, auto, Q, auto. That's 2 procs, right? You only need to hit that 10 times, right? In order for you to get... Yeah, it's pretty good, dude. So, and you get permanent maximum mana Like, I mean, it's only 250 mana, but it's still damn good. I guess the cooldown on it's 15 seconds, so maybe that combo didn't proc it both times. Or maybe it's bugged. I don't know. But either way, like, I got the 250 mana, like, really, really quickly. And then, yeah, just all the time, mana flow ban restores 1% of your missing mana every 5 seconds. That's really, really good. If you take a look at what it was doing before, where you're only getting the proc once every 75 seconds, you're actually getting more mana back with this. This screams Ryze OP to me. So, huge buff for Ryze. He does damage based upon how much mana he has. He's a natural tier builder. He naturally hits enemy champions with spells all of the time. This should be very easy for him to stack up. He'll basically have infinite mana and get more damage out of his abilities. So, I think this rune is broken. So if you play a champion
most definitely
that can take it every time.
Without a doubt, like 250 max mana is disgusting.
Yeah, it's like a free fucking whatever the stupid crystal is that no one likes to buy because it gives you mana.
Yeah,
what the hell is that thing called? I can't even remember. Wiki mana item. Hold on, I'm gonna look it up. I don't even know what the fuck like the name of that thing is. Is it Sapphire Crystal? Yeah, Sapphire Crystal gives you 250 mana. So basically, for doing what you were normally doing, you get a free 350 gold item, right? That doesn't take up an inventory slot. Like, tell me that's not broken. And then you just randomly get the fucking passive, like 1% of your fucking mana back all the time. Like, that's... it's ridiculous, dude. I can't believe how good it is.
Did they even playtest this? Like...
I don't know, dude.
I hate this.
Yeah, it's fucking like, cancer.
And I'm a mid laner, and it's gonna make me broken, but... from a balance standpoint, like, ugh.
Yeah, Chalice of Harmony doesn't even restore percentage mana anymore. It has 50% base mana regeneration, and then it has a unique passive of gain plus 25% base health regeneration for every additional 25% base mana regeneration you have. God, that's a terrible passive. Like, yes. Get health regen for mana regen. It's terrible.
But, yeah, no, that's pretty horrible.
Yeah, so either way, this rune is broken, so mages should be very, very happy on this upcoming patch, especially with the next change, which is Presence of Mind, not just for Kassadin anymore, but still fucking really strong on Kassadin. Presence of Mind. Enemy champion takedowns now restore 20% of your maximum mana and refund 10% of your ultimate's cooldown. Wow. That is so good. So good. I actually think when I play top lane Cho'Gath, I might actually take both of these. I'm not going to lie. Like, that'll just basically give me infinite mana on Cho'Gath, who you do have to be a little bit careful about how you spend mana on him. But I think with these two things, getting a free 250 mana and random, like, really amazing mana regeneration, and whenever you get a takedown, you get 20% of your mana back, and your ultimate's cooldown is refunded by 10%. Holy shit, that's good for Cho'Gath. Obviously really good on champions like Kassadin. Probably pretty good on Ryze too, although his ultimate isn't as valuable in the solo queue just because it's hard to organize those types of plays. Much more valuable for professional play, but Mage is going to have a good time with these two new runes. I think they're both... I think Presence of Mind is really strong. I think Mana Flow Ban's OP. So, what do you think, Cole?
Yes. No, I definitely agree with you. I think Presence of Mind, you're going to feel that change on champions like Kassadin. So, you know...
Word. So a couple more changes. These are all pretty small ones. Legend Tenacity, it's now 5% plus 2.5% per stack. Used to be 1.5%. 30% at 10 stacks instead of 20%. Whatever. Like, turns out the attack speed is usually what people are dipping into this level of the tree for. I don't see a lot of champions taking this. There might be a few exceptions of certain tanky type champions like Warwick that runs through that tree, but I still think the attack speed's probably better for a champion like him, because it just promotes using his sustain more, which is really what makes him good, especially when he gets low in fights. So Legend's Tenacity is still pretty bad. Cut down damage multiplier is now 4 to 12%. The max health differences are still the same. It's okay. I think it's situationally good. I think with some of the nerfs to other runes that have come up lately, we might actually see ADCs start taking this, especially when they're playing up against big tanks. I don't think it will affect solo queue very much. I think it's more so a change for professional play. Zombie Ward nerf, it's really OP. You take it on pretty much every champion. I think Eyeball Collection will overtake it in solo queue. But for organized play, professional play, they're probably still going to take Zombie Ward. I think if you're playing in solo queue and you're trying to carry, just take Eyeball Collection. It's better in general. Especially at lower elos where people don't fucking pay attention to wards anyways. You know, at higher elos, Zombie Ward will still be good. Approach Velocity. I think the only champion that I can think of that takes this is Tahm Kench. The movement speed is now 15 instead of 10%. Nah, I kind of think there's better stuff in the tree at that point. So, I don't know. What do you think about all of those changes to runes?
I guess overall, like, Resolve Tree, like, more health over time, good. Mana Flow Band, bad. Presence of Mind, indifferent. As far as Tenacity goes, like, I think that's either fine or broken. We'll find out soon enough. And then as far as the others, like, meh, I think the change to Zombie Ward needed to happen because it's so, like, you don't not take it. Especially at a position that wards a lot like support. Because, like, there's no reason you shouldn't. Because extra vision is king. And then approaching velocity is meh. So, I mean, that's my thoughts overall.
Yeah, I agree. I'm pretty much there with you, too. Junglers take Zombie Ward pretty much all the time, too. I think if you're playing a more carry-style jungler, you might actually take Eyeball Collection in the solo queue. But if you're higher or low, you're probably still going to soon take Zombie Ward because vision is vision, and vision wins games. So I'm going to skip over the minion change and get to that last. I just want to talk about some of the other random changes here. There's updates to voice chat. I'm sure they're needed. I still don't use it. I think it's difficult to use, but maybe I'll try it out this next week and see if I can't get it to work correctly. The attack on move cursor setting now checks a larger area for a valid target before defaulting to attacking the closest unit to your champion. That's a good change. Attack move. Yay. And then Crest of Cinders burn effect, that's red buff, no longer damages turrets. I think that's also a good change. They mentioned it pretty specifically in here that if you get a jungle gank off and say the top laner already used teleport, it's very easy to push the turret and get first turret. It tends to snowball games because red buff can do a lot of damage to turrets because burn damage happened to turrets. Removing that from the game, I'm completely fine with that. I think this is geared more towards pro play than it is anything else, but just be aware of that if you're playing solo queue. So minion changes. This is a big one. So melee minions are now worth 21 gold instead of the base 20. They no longer have a gold growth. Caster minions are now worth 14 instead of 17. No longer have gold growth. Siege minions, however, are now worth 60 gold base. That's right, 60. They used to be 15. So basically you get a free minion kill for killing a siege minion now. And they also have a gold growth stat. It used to be 0.35. It's now 3. So every 3 waves, this cannon minion is worth 3 more gold. And if you're not aware, early in the game, the cannon minion only spawns every 3 waves. So it's worth 3 more gold every time it comes to lane. It also increased the base health on it. It used to be 828. It's now an even 900. And health growth stat every 3 waves, 50, increased to 60 for waves 16 onward. In turn, they also increase the amount of gold you get from super minions, and they have the same gold growth stat. So what does this mean? It means that caster minions are not worth as much as melee minions, so melee minions are much more important to last hit in lane. You're only getting 1 extra gold from the melee minion, but you're getting less gold from the caster minions. If you go through and do all the math, it's about the same amount of gold. It's pretty much negligible for the melees and the casters, so just continue to last hit like you always do. The problem is siege minions are super fucking OP now.
Yeah, basically, if you don't last hit siege minions, you're inting.
Yeah, you're going to lose the game. You have to get siege minions. Siege minions are now super, super important. So a couple things to note about siege minions. So if you're not aware, at 20 minutes, siege minions spawn every other wave instead of every third wave. So that's about the time that laning phase is broken. I know the game's a lot slower in solo queue, so you might still be in laning phase at 20 minutes, especially at lower elos where people don't generally tend to move around the map very well. But just be aware of that. At 35 minutes, Canon Minion spawns every goddamn wave. Now, if you think about the gold growth stat for that, these Canon Minions become insanely important to get. Now, let's go back to the change that they made to Relic Shield. With Relic Shield as a melee support, you can easily execute these minions, despite the fact that they have extra health, because of the way that Relic Shield works. This is why they nerfed the passive gold on it. At the 21-minute mark, a Canon Minion will give you so much gold and give it to your teammate that it's actually still good to build Relic Shield. Now, you will have less gold earlier in the game, but you really, really, really have to save your stacks for Canon Minions. You must use your stack on every Canon Minion in order to remain to maintain the gold efficiency of Relic Shield because of the amount of gold that they nerfed off of it, the passive gold that you get.
And honestly, with these changes, if you're Rakan or Thresh and you build Relic Shield and you miss the Canon Minion, you deserve to be reported.
Yeah, like, you're totally fucking your team by doing that. So I would recommend for champions like Thresh and Rakan, go coin. I actually think Spell Thieves is actually pretty gold efficient on Rakan as well. So
yes,
you have that option.
Coin is really gold efficient on Thresh.
Yeah, exactly. But if you play like Braum or Tahm Kench, go the Relic Shield line. But remember, you have to get every Canon Minion. Everyone. There were so much gold. So very, very important change to the game. If you're a laner, it's imperative that you actually get the Canon Minions. I missed one earlier when I was pushing a lane out as a jungler. It felt so bad because I was like, I just pissed away like 68 gold. Like, that's a lot of gold, dude. Like, Canon Minions are worth 100 gold, I think, at like the 24-minute mark. Like, that's absolutely insane. That's 100 gold, dude. They spawn every wave after... Oh, my God, dude.
Also, this is going to speed up games because I feel like there's a lot more gold in the games now.
Yeah, if you look at the math that Freak did, which is where I'm getting most of these numbers from, it's basically negligible how much gold you're getting in the early game. Like, you miss 2 gold here, 3 gold there, whatever. It's not that much gold, right? Like, I think the difference might be, like, 30 gold. And yes, that can matter in certain situations, but... You know, on your first back, if you have 30 less gold, not that big of a deal, right? The thing is, you're going to accelerate into that mid game because those cannons are worth so much. And I mean, they're almost like mini objectives now. So I'm not really sure where Riot's going with this or if this is necessarily the right change. I didn't really think there was a problem per se with minions, but I think it's an interesting change and I'm curious to see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, no, I think this is a pretty crazy change. We're going to have to wait and see how much this accelerates games when it gets to that mid-game area. It's definitely going to be more interesting to see how this affects back timings, because normally you would back on the cannon wave because it takes so many tower shots for the enemy tower to kill the cannon, but... I feel like that's still optimal, but losing a cannon feels really bad now.
Yeah, maybe you back on like a normal wave because, you know, you're only going to lose 2 melees, which is like 42 gold versus missing that 60 plus gold siege minion.
Yeah.
Yeah. That will be something really interesting to see for pro play. I mean, anyone below like probably like Diamond 2, like, doesn't fucking know shit about back timings, so whatever. I mean, maybe Diamond. I guess most Diamond players know like when to
back. I don't
back,
know,
but...
like, most high golds usually back on cannon wave. Like, it's kind of basic knowledge, at least for mid lane. Maybe for the other lanes, like, maybe not as much, because top lane has TP, and bot lanes just shove the wave under tower, just let it reset when you get back. But for mid lane, like, mid laners know, like, they back on cannon wave, otherwise they're giving up gold.
Yeah, maybe a lot of people do know that, and I just don't notice it that much because I'm a jungler, but I feel like people are terrible with their back timings and rotations. But, I mean, back timings and rotations are going to be so...
Definitely rotations.
Yeah, so important based on the fact that, like, I've seen double cannon minions in a lane, like, approaching a turret, and you're like, dude, that's, like, fucking almost 200 gold just for those 2 minions. Like, not including all the gold you get from the other ones. Like, that... It's going to end up being a lot of gold, dude. So, again, I'm not really... sure how I feel about this change, but it's definitely going to be interesting. And I like the discussion about back timers. I just don't know enough about it. Like, because I don't know things off the top of my head. Like, oh, I'm an ADC, and if I get 90% of the minions, I can back on the second cannon minion wave, and then I'll be able to hit these breakpoints, right? Because that's what pros are doing, right? And where the breakpoints are for supports and the ADC is very, very important, because that determines when you can back. Like, can I get this item that will allow me to roam if I'm a roaming champion? Or can I get this item that will allow me to build my wards out so I can get a sweeper? You know, like, a lot of that stuff's really, really important for organized play.
And for my games, I don't even think it through that much. It's more like, all right, I killed the enemy laner. What wave am I on? Do I have enough to get the item I want? Like, is now a good time to back? And if the answer is no, it's going to be painful, because I'm going to have to sit and wait a wave and a half for when they get back and when my cannon wave's there to back.
Yeah.
So, like, it's all about just, like, for me, it's not even advanced. It's like thinking of what's my breakpoints and all that. Like, just, like, can I back and get what I want? Is the wave in a good position?
I'm so bad at laning that, like, when I play top lane, if I survive past the cannon minion wave, I'm like, all right, dude. We're doing okay. Because by then, you've probably already been ganked, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I get the most troll fucking matchups when I play top lane, dude. I don't know what it is, dude. Like, I, you know, and I'm not very good at top lane, which is why I play, like, pretty easy champions. But I swear to God, dude, every time I play top lane, like, I just get these funky-ass matchups, dude. I'm going to have to go look right now, dude, because this last fucking... Okay, so I played Cho'Gath. I went 6-3 and 11. It was a win. And I got matched up against... Oh, Tryndamere. That's a pretty standard matchup, so I shouldn't complain about that one. What happened that game, though? Maybe I got ganked a lot in that game.
Did he just get farmed? Because, like, that's not... Like, to be honest, like, that's not that great of a Cho'Gath matchup if Tryndamere can time his ult right.
Yeah, but I can also silence him and then eat him, and then he can't use his ultimate, so...
Yeah.
Or knock him up. He can't use it while he's knocked up. Oh, and then I got a Quinn matchup the other time I played top this last week, which is a total fucking troll matchup. Like, they just basically shit on you, and it's like a super annoying lane that you have to survive. Yeah. Oh, here I got a I got Zillion top lane in my other Cho'Gath game.
Oh, baby.
Dude, it's so fucking annoying when you're playing Cho'Gath. You're like, I just want a CS, and he's like, double bomb. I'm like, I will try and kill you. He's like, run away really fast. Yes. Right, and you're like, you son of a bitch, right? Dude, he literally solo killed me, like, at like level 7 or some shit.
Yeah.
Cuz I was trying to push the wave into the turret and then back off, and he just double bombed me, like, reset his cooldowns, waited till I got to walk like 2 steps, double bombed me again, waited till I, like, he did it fucking four times in a row, dude, and they fucking killed me. And I was like, dude, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in this matchup. Like, I tried to, like, silence him and, like, use my knockup to, like, create some distance, but nope, I didn't have flash, so I just got totally dicked.
You're a low range mobile character. I play Zillion mid, you just die.
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit, dude. I hate when I, because I don't main top lane, like, so
I am so happy playing Zillion into Swain.
When I get filled top lane, it's like I get these fucking troll ass matchups, dude. Like, at least Tryndamere, I know how it goes. Tryndamere, if he takes Ignite, he's trying to all in you at level 1 or level 2, so you just gotta play really safe and stay away from him and let him push the wave in. And then if he takes teleport, he's probably trying to farm as much as possible. You still have to be careful, because when his rage bar gets full, he crits automatically. So he can fucking kill you very easily at level 2 or level 3. But it's a little bit easier to survive than 500 true damage fucking... Well, I guess it's not 500 at level 2 or 3, but a lot of true damage out of the Ignite. So you have to be very careful of that. But yeah, I just feel like those lanes are, like, so cheesy. And I'm just like, yep, that's what I get every fucking time I play top lane. Like, goddamn it. I never get a standard matchup that, like, you know how the matchup works. It's like, nope, I always get fucking weird cheese like Quinn, and I just have to sit at my turret and farm and cry.
You're not wrong.
Oh, shit. Man. So that's it for the patch notes tonight, man. Yeah, minion change is really interesting, so we'll see how all that stuff plays out. A bunch of bug fixes here. I didn't see anything that was really interesting that needed to be mentioned. Like I said, Badlands Baron Rumble. What the fuck?
Baby.
Give me that
skin.
It's
like Mad Max Rumble, baby.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool, dude. I think I might actually buy it, as long as it's not too expensive. If it's like $9.75, I'll have to think hard about it. But it probably will be, because it's a cool skin. If it's $13.50, fuck that. I'm not buying that shit. And then we got Lancer Wukong. That one looks actually pretty cool, dude. Like the splash art for it.
Is it a gemstone one, or is it actually like a...
It doesn't say, but I would assume so, because...
Lancer Ekrom.
Yeah, like the Lancer Hecarim skin is like that. Oh, by the way, I really like the This Is Fine emote. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with that meme with the little dog, like, sitting in the break room and it's on fire. Like, I work in IT, so that's an often, like, quoted and used meme. And that's totally the Soraka one. She's got the coffee cup and the fire. And it says this, everything is okay. It's totally This Is Fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I like the little camper one, too, with the tent. Like, I need to get that one for when I play top lane, because I swear to God, I get camped every time I play top.
The Wukong skin is not 10 gemstones. It's just 1350, so.
Ooh, interesting. Is that available already?
Right now it is, yeah.
Why isn't the fucking Rumble skin available? I search for Rumble. That's a good question. Like, I can find it. You look in the client, make sure I'm not an idiot, because it's very possible that I'm just stupid.
No, I'm looking at it. I only see a Lancer, Wukong, and then a bunch of, then, like, a new Irelia skin, a Birdio, Draven, Pizza Delivery, Sivri. I don't see it.
Interesting. All right, well, hopefully that skin comes out soon, because I don't have a good Rumble skin. And then I guess as far as bans are concerned, that's something we always talk about every week. I don't really know what I'm banning besides Darius. Darius remains unchanged, still really strong on this patch. And actually, nerfed a Ninja Tabby will actually probably help him, because he's more of a caster than he is an auto attacker. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with banning Darius most of my games. I feel like you don't have to ban Shaco every game now, just because he got a little bit of a nerf. So Shaco mains will continue to play him, but people who are nubs at Shaco, which is most people outside of Shaco mains, will not play him because he's not, like, overtuned anymore. But yeah, that'd be my general advice for now. But we'll have more next week once we get, you know, a little more time to play on the patch and, you know, more on Irelia, and we'll talk about Gragas and Kane and some other champions like that that I feel like need a little bit of testing next week.
Yeah.
So anything else before we wrap up for the night?
No, I think we did the patch notes justice.
We did. We took way longer than I thought we were going to, but we got it done. Yes. So where can we find you online, Mr. Cole?
You can find me at twitch.tv/safetyscissors.
Bitchin'.
What about you, Rhythm?
twitch.tv/DrRhythm. Have been streaming quite a bit recently, so I try to get like 2 or 3 days in a week at least. It's hard with my busy ass schedule, but there will be streaming. I did want to stream earlier. My apologies. I was doing research for this podcast, and I wanted to make sure we got you guys the best information that we could possibly get you to prepare you for Lay Solo Queue on patch 8.7. So probably going to stream a little bit tomorrow. Have a busy weekend. Got a birthday party going on this weekend. So
yes.
If you're in the Phoenix area, Cole, make sure you come on down and drink some booze.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'll just stop on by.
Yes, hop on a flight, baby. Then you could follow me on Twitter at Wayne Payton. So it's pretty easy to find. You can see me posting and probably related to some of the other stuff that you're already following. You can follow the show at Six Dorians. Again, if you have problems with the feed, that's probably the best place to reach out to us as a group. And then, of course, our Discord. I'm going to put the Discord link on our new website. For right now, if you go to sixdorians.com, it'll be over on these social media links on the right hand side. If you are unable to find it, just message us on Twitter or in game. We'll be able to get you the link. Discord's a really good place to connect with everybody too. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it. And then be on the lookout for things updating. So if your feed gets messed up or anything like that, you may have to unsubscribe and resubscribe. Again, I'm hoping that change is seamless for you, but we're moving everything over to Podbean. New website and all that stuff will launch this weekend. I will pop all that stuff onto the Twitters and make sure you guys are up to date on all of that. In the meantime, you can still get the podcast on SoundCloud. I'm uploading it to both places for now, but on the 6th of April, when our contract expires, which is tomorrow, with SoundCloud, may or may not be available. I'm not really sure what exactly is going to happen, but we'll keep the SoundCloud stuff going as long as we can. But again, moving over to Podbean, much easier place to manage everything. So going to be good times. So that's it for us tonight. Make sure you watch those EU and NA LCS finals this weekend. Playoffs going around on all leagues around the world, prepping up for that MSI. We'll have tons to break down on that on Tuesday. Going to be a good time. Excited for this weekend. So
go Liquid, baby.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm rooting for Liquid, too. I like that squad. So for Mr. Cole, Runs with Scissors Abernathy, I'm Wayne Dr. Rhythm Payton, and we'll see y'all in the Rift.
100 Thieves is overrated.